Good evening and welcome to The Late Debate. I'm Katie Hannan, and tonight, as the dust settles on a political earthquake, joining me in studio I have Alan Farrell, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Fine Gael, John Lahart, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin South West and party spokesperson on Dublin, Cian O'Callaghan, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Bay North. Do you like the sound of that, Cian? And party spokesperson on energy and climate change, Ellen Coyne, head of politics at Joe.ie, and Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Now, we want to hear from you, so do get in touch. You can text us on 51551, email latedebate@rte.ie, or tweet to @latedebaterte, #RTELD. Now, Alan Farrell, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I should congratulate all our TDs who came through that extraordinary election and are heading back into Leinster House. But obviously, apart from, you know, your own success in retaining the seat, Alan, what's your analysis now at this stage of why so many of your colleagues won't be coming back into Leinster House with you?
I think it's a combination of a number of things. Personally speaking, I would say expectation management was a huge problem in terms of, you know, the fact that the books were balanced for the first time in a decade in 2018, and we couldn't spend enough quickly enough. If you look at the housing portfolio, for instance, you know, €6 billion planned over 5 years, but the flow of housing only arrived with the CSO figure confirmed today and an independent assessment, I think, in the first week of January, showing 21,500 houses were built. I think the biggest difficulty, though, was trying to convince the electorate that the reason that properties weren't coming on stream quickly enough was because it took, you know, probably 2 years to get a site ready, planning permission and everything like that. And there were failures, of course, both in terms of policy, on the health side and in other areas. So it's been a long 9 years. I think a lot of people will recognise that the economy is in a completely different place. But expectation management, I think, was probably the biggest
issue. Yeah, and I think everyone, to be fair, would acknowledge that it is a huge task to try and convince an electorate to give any government a third go at
it. Of course.
Particularly given the circumstances
we were in. One of the things, Katie, it would have been very easy for Fine Gael and the Independent Alliance in government to throw €400-500 million at the electorate back in October. And we chose not to do that because, A, it would have been reckless, but B, we were attempting to insulate the country against the possibility of a no-deal Brexit, which was very much on the cards in the month of October. We chose not to do that, and really that has been the position, that the principled position, I suppose, that Fine Gael has adopted over the years. Now, again, I'm not trying to rewrite history or suggest that we didn't make mistakes along the way. Of course we did.
Yeah, let's talk about the mistakes for one moment, if you'll allow us, in terms of the campaign and the focus on points in the campaign and speaking points in the campaign that were just not what people wanted to... You were just not in the same place as the people you were trying to talk to.
There were a few issues, certainly. I mean, I can think of, in terms of the online presence and the attitude that the party and indeed other parties adopted during that campaign, which I don't think resonated particularly well. I think other parties were far better at it, particularly Sinn Féin. But, you know, promising the sun, moon and stars, or as the RTÉ correspondent in Northern Ireland, whose name escapes me, I'm afraid, Tommy Gorman, mm-hmm. Thank you, said, Harry read it out earlier on when we were waiting to come on the show, you know, a late, late show approach, you know, one for everyone in the audience. I mean, if Sinn Féin are to go into government, delivering upon the commitments that they've made would be near impossible. So, you know, there are issues, of course, that Fine Gael faced in terms of the very significant risk that may be faced by this country in terms of Brexit and the trade deal. We try to push that as an important issue because it is an important issue, but it didn't resonate. Were there other things that we could have focused on during the course of the campaign? Of course, but hindsight is wonderful.
But what struck a lot of us watching the campaign as it unfolded was it was quite clear quite early on that you weren't getting traction for and you weren't going to get to fight your election on the ground that you had chosen, but that you, instead of doing that, you kind of doubled down on it and were still lecturing people about what a fantastic job you had done.
Well, you could ask the question, though, you know, would we have fared worse had we not rallied in the final week, for instance? Because I do think we rallied quite significantly in the last week. The polls were always against us from the start, even before the election was called.
Why do you think you rallied in the last week?
I think a lot of people were focusing on the potential surge in Sinn Féin. I think a lot of people perhaps came back to us and to other parties on the basis that they were concerned. I'm not going to try and interpret the electorate. They've made their decision. The election is over. But at the same time, I do think that people came back. It came up on the doors, I can tell you, absolutely constantly, every single night in the final week.
What did?
People worried about Sinn Féin.
John Lehart, was that coming up on the doors that you were knocking on in Dublin Southwest?
Yeah, look, there was ebbs and flows. We were here a few weeks ago. I think I said to you a few weeks ago it was going to be a transformative election. Didn't maybe realise quite how transformative it was going to be, but I did see at some stage it was going to be like that, and an election different to any other. Yeah, Fine Gael, in the last few days, you know, they put out leaflets in my own constituency that really scared people about Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin. And I noticed people move from being undecided to coming to us to being undecided. It was a very interesting, if you were just a neutral observer, it was interesting just to observe that in the last few days.
Are you saying that people withdrew from Fianna Fáil, that might have supported Fianna Fáil because they believed you were...
They believed a message they were given.
Which was that you would,
that we would go
going to government with Sinn Féin.
With Sinn Féin. And so there was an ebb and flow of that throughout the last 10 days. I think I said to you the last time that the electorate was divided into, you know, the committed, the undecided and the disillusioned. And, you know, the turnout in my own constituency was 52%. It wasn't hugely high, really. And those undecideds, I would have said mid-campaign, they're coming to us. It's a trickle and it's turning into quite a movement. And then in the last week, it moved away from us. But I think nationally, you didn't ask me the same question you asked Alan, but I'll answer it anyway. Mm-hmm. I think supply and confidence became supply and disillusion that last year, really. And yet on reflection, there's nothing alternative we could have done. You know, the Brexit thing we took very seriously. So if you go back to the beginnings of 2016, because we're right back there again with different numbers, where other people sat on their hands, who are being asked to get up off their hands on this occasion.
But now it's yourselves that are sitting on your hands. We'll have a discussion about that.
Yeah, sure. But there were parties who decided not to take any hand actor part in facilitating a government in 2016. We did. We said for three budgets. Fourth budget was probably too much. It was coming up on the doors really in the last 6 months. You know, and then the message, the lie through the campaign, and it was a lie, but it was very hard to combat, that, you know, you were in government with Fine Gael, to people who don't engage every day in an in-depth way in politics. That was a very easy lie to swallow and to see, because a lot of people perceived that. What people didn't see over the last 4 years was how difficult it was for myself and my colleagues to press the blue button, the abstain button, as opposed to the Tá or Níl button in the Dáil. Mm-hmm. How much it went against the grain to do that, and why we did it, which was in the interests of the country, and particularly over Brexit.
But you see, I think, do you not have a difficulty that people didn't fully buy into the we're doing this in the national interest, because there was some party interest, party political interest in this as well, because for a huge length of that time in government. Mm-hmm. Fianna Fáil were significantly behind Fine Gael in every single opinion poll.
But after 2 years, we could have gone, like when Enda Kenny was at his weakest, we could have gone then. You know, so, you know, that's an act of faith and trust. I'm saying that when you attended parliamentary party meetings, you know, the interests of the country was the first thing that came up when it came to kind of, you know, look, there was often strong views of, look, we've done this long enough, we're suffering, we're getting beaten with the stick for their policies. And then, obviously, the Brexit thing came. Party leaders were particularly strong on it, supported by the absolute majority of the parliamentary party. So I stand over that. What we did was in the interests of the country. We kept this country stable when there was convulsions abroad.
I'm just, I am imagining you know, people out there right now having heard Alan talk about, you know, they could have done the, they could have done the giveaway budget, but in the interests of the country, they held the line. They didn't do, you could have come out sooner, but in the interests of the country, they held the line.
When was it that Fine Gael ever came up with a budget that was a giveaway, the throwing money hand over fist?
Well, there were several budgets there, Alan Farrell, that caused serious issues from the Fiscal Advisory Council and huge question marks about the use of
and
all
yet,
that, those corporation taxes to plug holes in the health budget.
And yet, virtually every indicator of our economic success is positive. So, you know, there were certainly economic and budgetary decisions that were made on the basis of our tax receipts from multinationals, but it was done in a careful and a carefully managed way.
That wasn't the view of the Fiscal Advisory Council.
Well, the Fiscal Advisory Council,
whose job it is, to be fair,
they're there for purpose,
to give
yes,
advice.
Yes,
and
they're there for purpose, and we disagreed with them in certain cases. But as I've said, the proof is in the eating, and the statistics and the economic forecasts are all positive. So,
Ellen Coyne.
Yeah, I'm not overwhelmed by introspection, shall we say. I think if you listen to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, it sounds like both of them almost thought that the election was lost before it was even called because of decisions like confidence and supply. But I mean, I think one of your most revealing comments there, Alan, was when you were talking about the party rallying in the last week. And I think that's probably fair because everyone would accept that Fine Gael didn't do as badly as was projected a week before the final campaign. But the strategy seemed to hinge on scaring people away from Sinn Féin. So when you start the election by basically being like, we're not Fianna Fáil, and then end it by scaring people away from Sinn Féin, I don't think you're offering like, if people were looking for change or people were looking for inspiration, I don't think there was a forward enough vision there. The 2000 election was obviously about the economy for obvious reasons. Fine Gael made a mistake in 2016 trying to make it about the economy again would keep the recovery going. And this one just seemed like the economy wrapped in a little Brexit blanket. So I don't think, I think the mistakes weren't just the mistakes of this campaign. I think there was echoes of the mistakes of the 2016 campaign as well.
Harry.
Katie.
this analysis, because I've been listening so carefully since those first results started rolling in to various TDs former TDs trying to explain where it all went horribly wrong. And there's, to me, a huge amount of the problem was that people just didn't understand how, you know, how great we were, what we were doing for them.
And I'm not saying that, and I might come back after Harry.
Okay. Well, I want to let Keane in as well. But
sure. Maybe I should have answered before you put after posing question. I said I'd better get her to earn her shekels. It's been such a strange election campaign. It's our Brexit, because when you look for logical, intellectual, deep reasons, you can't find them. People did act in a kind of a Pavlovian way, or in a visceral way, as some people said. You got a guy called Louis O'Hara in Galway, who's a 21-year-old student who nobody had ever heard before. And he got 7,000 votes in Galway East. Violet and Rin down in Clare, who just entered the race a week or 2 weeks before the election and hardly campaigned at all and got elected in Clare. Patricia Ryan in Kildare South, who went off on holidays during the campaign and still topped the poll. So certainly there was an appetite for change, and people wanted change no matter what. And we're a little bit of a kind of damn the consequences thing. Fine Gael, I think we're on a loser, because I think Fine Gael's difficulty was that they didn't take cognizance of the big issues that people were concerned about. And housing and health were huge issues. And the housing thing was interesting, because when you looked at the kind of the breakdown of the exit poll and other polls, the people who voted most for Sinn Féin and most against Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were the millennials, those who'd grown up to see that they had no chance of having a permanent job, paying too much rent, no prospect of being able to own a house. And that anger was kind of incremental and creeping and kind of manifested itself during the campaign. They looked at Fianna Fáil, and Fianna Fáil wasn't an agent for change. I think John is right. The confidence supply went on for too long. But maybe confidence and supply doomed Fianna Fáil from the start. The Greens and the Labour Party were seen as willing to go into coalition. So people weren't willing, as willing to give them votes as
well,
they
the
were.
The Greens, despite the analysis during the campaign, really ended
they
up
did.
In they, a very,
they,
very
they
strong
position. They
benefited
from the Sinn Féin surge. I think if you start looking at transfers, the other thing that was very interesting to me looking at transfers was, in the past, Sinn Féin was regarded as toxic in terms of transfers. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were toxic. The only people they were getting transfers from were themselves, nobody else. So if you look at 2016 in Galway, when Trevor O'Clarity stood, he finished quite well after the first count, but then couldn't attract a transfer to save his life. Mairead Farrell in Galway this time, she attracted transfers across the board. So every party that was non-Fianna Fáil or non-Fine Gael was transferring to other people in
perhaps
huge numbers.
Yeah,
I know. I wanted to let Keane in. Sorry, Alan. In relate, like, you were out there, you were hearing what was going on the doors. I mean, it seems that there was an extraordinary, it was a Sinn Féin mantra, which was, you know, vote Sinn Féin and transfer down the line to other left candidates.
That's not really my sense of it now, I have to say. Mm-hmm. So from the first night we were out, people were saying to us, we're not going for the two main civil war parties. And that was the strong sentiment that we were hearing on the doors.
Was anybody but Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
Yeah, and I think they were disappointed with the current government. And then they took one look at Fianna Fáil and said, no, thanks either. And that was the strong sentiment, actually, I think, more so than the other parties. And that's borne out in the results, because in some constituencies, Sinn Féin weren't the beneficiaries of that. If you look at Dunleary, the Greens took a new seat. If you look at West Cork, it was Social Democrats that took a seat. So it's not there's a lot of talk about the Sinn Féin surge, but that happened in a lot of constituencies, but wasn't universal.
37 of the 42 candidates got elected. And the reason why in those constituencies was those constituencies would be considered to be more traditional constituencies, where the two big parties still held sway. The Sinn Féin surge, it's staring you in the face. To have 37, so many of them unknown.
But in West Cork, it was Fine Gael lost the seat to the Social Democrats, and now have no representation in West Cork for the first time in the history of the state. So there's more to it.
Of course, the other parties were doing well as well, but I mean,
there is more to it. But I mean, and I suppose the other part of the equation, which is has to be taken into account as well. It wasn't just the 37 TDs that got elected. If they had second candidates in place, mm-hmm. I think Michael Gallagher's analysis of it, they would have maybe gotten 11 or 12 more seats. So we could be looking at a Dáil with 49, 50 for.
Certainly, but my sense of it is that there was a strong sentiment for change. People wanted to see action on healthcare and housing, and felt that the traditional parties had let them down in those areas, that, you know, they want to live in a good, inclusive, fair society, as well as a country with a strong economy. And that was the sentiment that was coming from people. And I think Sinn Féin happened to be, in a lot of constituencies, the vehicle that was able to capture that. But that was my sense of it now. People weren't saying that they had, you know, strong feeling towards that party. It was they were looking for any alternative to the two main parties. And that happened to, you know, Sinn Féin were the third party going into the election.
Just two quick things, just in relation to Harry's comments on transfers. I know Harry is certainly a very well-researched person. But there are constituencies where the transfer was actually quite strong to Fine Gael, and he's right to say the inter-party strength. I'll give you the example. I was elected on transfers from a candidate, an independent candidate, who was from Balbriggan, which is about as far away for me as you can get within my constituency.
He is ex-Fine Gael though, isn't he?
He was in Fine Gael for a wet week.
Ah, well, there you are.
There's a bit of geography.
Very much elected. And you can ask him yourself. Tony Murphy is his name.
Transfers from the Labour Party.
Independent candidate. But we received an awful lot more transfers from Tony than we expected. And I reached the quota on that basis. But absolutely, there were, you know, small transfers from other parties as the people were being eliminated or elected. I've always had a very good transfer rate in my 16 years.
Alan Farrell, you've got to acknowledge that if you look right across the 39 constituencies.
No, I did say that examples where that wasn't.
The late changes, Katie. I mean, Fianna Fáil were saying we're going to get 43, 44, 45.
All of
and
those
then,
came
and the
down.
The second day, when it became apparent that their candidates were not attracting Fiona Loughlin, Shane Castles, all of these TDs who were Timmy Dooley, you know, you can just, the list goes on. The same for Fine Gael candidates. because okay, lost seats in the last second and last pounds.
Let me just give you, because we're getting quite a few texts in here. This nonsense about the national interest, it was a cynical manoeuvre to try and absolve themselves for their destruction of the economy, nothing more and nothing less. I think that's aimed at you. And another one there, is that Fianna Fáil rep for real? This is for John Lahart. They hid in the skirts of Fine Gael to retrieve some respect and are airbrushing themselves out of the collapse of the economy. And with Fianna Fáil, I am reminded of the quote that patriotism is the last refuge of scoundrels, says Mike from Galway. A question for Cian. Could you ask the Social Democrat deputy what he thinks about Labour's performance and if there is enough space on the island for them alongside the Social Democrats?
I think it was a very disappointing result probably for the Labour Party. You know, they went from seven seats down to six. The last election was a very poor performance and they lost a good few percentages on that. And quite disappointingly now as well, they don't have any female TDs, which, you know, is a backward step for them as well. So I think they'll probably have a lot of soul searching to do over the next while.
Could you explain to the listeners just in like three sentences, what's the difference policy-wise between the Social Democrats and the Labour Party?
There's huge differences if you look at our manifestos, but ultimately we feel the main difference is in terms of, you know, you can write whatever policy you want, it's your action on it that matters. And when you look at housing output, you look at social housing output, in the history of the state, it was really worst under Labour Party minister in the previous government with Fine Gael.
I'm not here to defend Alan Kelly in that role, but to be fair, it was in the immediate aftermath of the worst economic collapse in the history of the state.
And we needed social housing, and the fact that under a Labour minister we weren't building social homes has led to the crisis.
But we couldn't
at the moment.
Because of the Fianna Fáil government.
And look at the record on climate action then, because there was virtually nothing done on climate action. The strategy at the time on climate action was, well, we're not doing well economically.
It's a very
so we don't
good example.
Any other
it's a very
direction.
Good example, though, of the and you know, Cian and I worked together on the council back in the day when he was a Labour Party member. But look, I the narrative that was created, like this discussion that we're now touching upon in relation to the lack of social housing being built by the state, I think it's terribly unfair on any party to highlight that one particular issue. And then say, well, the state isn't building houses and it's all your fault. The state couldn't build houses because the state didn't have any money. The state didn't have any in-house builders anymore within local authorities, because over two elections, way before we were born, Cian, in 1977, and then again in 2001 and 2003, when the planning laws were changed, we farmed out responsibility for the construction of social housing to the private sector, and never retained any ability within local authorities to actually deliver. And it's only in the recent years that has actually changed.
Let me just put another text to you there then, Alan Farrell. If the Taoiseach could change his housing and health ministers a few months ago, we might not be where we currently are.
I no disrespect to your texter, but I don't think that's true. I mean, the policies implemented came from the
Do you still believe that Fine Gael's policies...
First question. The first
well, you're
question,
saying no is the answer
do
to the
I
first
think,
question.
And I'm going to qualify my answer. The question pertains to whether individuals are responsible for the flow of housing. And I don't think that they are. The policies are responsible.
Okay, well, let's talk about the policies very briefly.
It's not about the person. It's about the policy.
Let's talk about the policies very briefly. Do you still believe that rebuilding Ireland was the policy to solve our housing crisis? That do you now think, in retrospect, given the huge debate we had over the course of the campaign, that perhaps that there should have been changes made in that policy to respond to the enormous crisis that was building around?
There were changes made to rebuilding Ireland throughout the process. Rebuilding Ireland originated from an all-party committee report. It fed into it, if I'm not mistaken.
So you don't think you made any mistakes in terms of your housing policy?
I'm saying is that we were starting from zero with no money in the bank, with the builders in Australia, and we had to rebuild the economy.
If you could go back again, you wouldn't change it, is what you're
saying. No, I'm not saying that we wouldn't change it. We took ideas from all quarters and implemented them in order to deliver as many homes as possible.
Can we just make the assumption that the electorate have given their verdict on what's happened, and I accept that. One of the things in relation to housing, this was a trickle at the beginning, at the end of 2018, the beginning of 2019, in my constituency, which is, you know, quite varied, there are thousands, literally thousands, you couldn't exaggerate it, mm-hmm. of 25 to 35-year-olds who have returned home to live with mom and dad because they can't afford rent. And what the state has offered, particularly in the last 2 years through the fast-track planning process, is built-to-rent apartments that people can't afford. And it just doesn't make sense. There's a change of tack needed. Fianna Fáil, certainly I believe, is an agent of change for that. You know, there isn't only one party that's an agent of change. What the Social Democrats and other parties have to decide now in the next week or two of complex process, which we went through in 2016, while others literally stepped aside, is to decide, you know, whether they can support a Sinn Féin-led programme of government. The Soc Dems have to decide that. The likes of independents like Michael Fitzmaurice, who said, you know, this election put manners on Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. He has to make a decision now. Would he support Mary Lou MacDonald as Taoiseach? Other left-minded parties, the Greens, the Labour Party, all of those parties have to will have time and space now to...
Yeah, let's move on. Let's move on to that discussion.